Acts chapter 3. Hey, are you guys going to be in here the whole service? Good. I'm going to use y'all as an illustration. It'll be all right. Just one part. You got time to get out now if you want to. Acts 3, verse 11. And the lame man which was healed. Y'all right there? See it? Let's just go up just a little bit more. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Verse 9. Go to verse 9. Acts 3, 9. What, do y'all remember what we started? If you were here this morning, you remember when we started what happened at the end of this story? I used it the very first of this message. Y'all remember? Apostles, they were end up in what? Prison, jail. And how many people were added to the kingdom of God that day? 5,000. So many times I've preached this message over the years, Acts chapter 3, and I probably not made it much further than what I preached this morning. Because we almost, as believers, as church, as preaching and teaching, you want to compartmentalize a lot of the Bible. Amen? We want to put this here and this here and this here. And even in the scriptures where the chapters were added for reading purposes. They weren't that way. They were just, in Hebrew and Greek, they're just written, you know, flowing. So when we read it, I want y'all to take it in context that the purpose that Jesus was doing, or the purpose that God was using the apostles and the lame man, was ultimately to glorify himself and to save as many people as he can. That's still what he's doing today with us. Amen. So he didn't heal him just to be healing him. He healed him for a purpose. He didn't let Peter and John be a part of the healing because Peter and John were these great people. He done it because he wanted to use them because they were obedient and willing to go where they was wanting to go. Amen. They were willing to go where he wanted them to go. And tonight I want to try to get into the folds, layers, and depth. I practiced that for like 20 minutes for some folds, layers, and depths of ministry. Because sometimes, as a preacher, as somebody in ministry, I get a lot of people come to me and say, put me somewhere. I'm serious. They'll say, put me somewhere. Where do you want me? You know, like, man, I could put you somewhere because there are many needs in a ministry. There are many needs in the church. But only God can put you where he wants you to serve. And the way he'll do it, you might want to write this down because I'm giving you some good stuff right here. The way he'll do it at the beginning will look nothing like you think. I mean, you'll think that you're doing something just to waste time to get what you're doing, right? But literally that's the front door to the operation that you're going to be doing for the rest of your life. I mean, literally, me getting into full-time ministry started with a visitation to a homeless shelter on a Saturday when I was trying to get my phone fixed. And I mean, I was begging people. I mean, I was begging God and begging people, asking my dad. Every time my dad turned around, how do I get into full-time ministry? I want to get into full-time ministry. My dad's like, pray about it. I'm doing that, right? But just what I really wanted my dad to do is say, all right, tomorrow I'll show up Monday and you can help me do this. Yeah. But he knew. Amen. He didn't get in it that way, and I wasn't going to get in that way, and you won't get in that way either. Amen. Does that make sense to y'all? Are y'all ready to get in the scriptures finally? Yeah, thank you. All right, let's look. Verse 9. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. I want to start right there. They started ministering to one man who was lame. Is that correct? This is the awesomest thing about ministry. When you minister into broken people's lives, guess what? A lot of time, the vehicle that will get you to the next place of your identity in ministry will be cutting the people loose that you helped get to where they needed to be. Does that make sense? Oh, gosh. Y'all get it in a second. All they did, Peter and John, they lifted him up. Welcome to the family, bro, brother. Sorry. Got a little liberal, my bros there. And all they did was guided him in, turned him a little bit, and let him loose in the temple, right? They let what God done through them for him to everybody. Does that make sense? They didn't have to say, they didn't have to preach, but they didn't have to just sit back and watch that guy right there. Watch it, just watch him. Right? Y'all good? Man, sometimes if you minister to some people who've been drunk their whole life, high their whole life, in distress their whole life, anxiety, depression, all that, and all of a sudden they're not that, you ain't got to sit there and go, well, this is what I did with them, and this is what. All you got to do is let them walk it out in front of people who knew their mess before they got with Jesus. Amen? I mean, everybody's looking at him going, man, listen, what we did, we went through this process. You ain't got to tell him that. He's running around, leaping, praising God, standing, walking, talking, doing all the stuff, right? Y'all good? All you got to do is wait for it. That's the entrance. That's good, right? Man, I feel like I love this stuff. I mean, I sat all day at home in circles, man, I want to go back and preach so bad. I did, man. I thought, man, this morning I didn't get enough information out, man. I want to get back there so bad. I was like, hey, could we meet over there at like 4:30? Nobody wants to meet over here at 4:30. Verse 10. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Man, they were shocked. They were all telling, man, you got to come see this guy who was laying out there, lame as can be, couldn't walk, and this guy is doing laps. Amen? Y'all see it? Verse 12, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, verse 11, sorry. Somebody should have stopped me. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter, literally, that is a word-for-word translation right there, held. Boys, y'all come right here. Will y'all? Come on. Y'all stand right there. Give me enough room to stand between y'all in a second. Y'all nervous? Being nervous. And all the, look at this, and Peter and John and all the people, not that far apart, and the people ran together unto him in the porch that is called Solomon's Great Wondering. Listen to this. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John. Oh God, yeah, this is so awesome. I mean, these guys are like, woo! Praise God, I got saved! Hallelujah! Man, Oh, man! God! Man! You guys! I can't tell you how thankful. Oh man. Woo! Man, running in the temple. Woo! Man. I love you guys. See it? Y'all see it? Thank y'all. I'm roughing them up. That's what it was. This dude was war slap out from running and praising. And he's hanging on. Come on, man. He's hanging on. He's just like, woo! Because he don't know how to act in church. And Peter and John's like, man, I don't know. We should have chose somebody else. And them guys are thinking right now, next Sunday night, be anywhere else. Amen? But do you see it? I mean, he's holding on to him because, man, he's been set free. And he's thankful. And he's grateful through it, how it came to him, and he knows how it came to him. But no, all of a sudden, look, I want y'all to see it. And he was made to walk. Verse 13. No, verse 12. And when Peter saw it, what did he see? Peter saw what? The next layer, the next fold, the next depth of his ministry. You see it? Man, you won't be more excited until you minister to somebody who gets it. Have you seen somebody who's been jacked up in your life and now they're walking a good path? There's nothing, other than you being saved, there's nothing greater than that. Amen? I mean, my salvation, I love it. But man, when you get to see somebody who is totally messed up and all of a sudden they're doing their thing in ministry, man, you just go, wow. God, let me be a part of that. Now listen, Peter and John are standing there, and he's just hanging on them, and he's like, and everybody ran. They're at the portico. They're at Solomon's portico. They're at Solomon's porch, just a portico. But they added, King Herod had added to the temple, and he built this porch. He built it bigger and better. He put big old wood cedar roof on it with big marble pillars. It was a beautiful place. And all the Sadducees and Pharisees and teachers and lawyers and all these people would, it's weird, they would get together and sit around all these porches and all this water, and they would all teach different doctrines of the law of God. And Jesus is wrecking them again. Amen? He's wrecking the party again. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the high priests, they're all there because it's temple time. But guess what? Jesus has done it again. If we crucify him and get rid of him, it'll be over. No, you just sent 11 free, 12, right? Then Paul, then it just adds, and then adds 3,000 and 5,000. It's worse. But all of a sudden, the place is, well, at least we got them eradicated. They'll never show up at the temple anymore until they show up at the temple. And they heal this dude. And he's running around. And they can't shut him up. Because once somebody's been lame and broken and can't, when they can, you can't shut them up. And Peter looks around and he sees all these different groups. And I don't care how religious, I don't care how religious you are, when you see the real thing, you drop all your religion and you go, answer that. How'd that happen? Now, we talk about this resurrection, we talk about that. But listen, we know these guys right here. They're unlearned, they're ignorant people. All we do know about these people, they were with Jesus. And now we put him in the ground, they say he was resurrected, and now there are people being laid, and they're right here in the porch again, and that dude's all right, and explain that. And Peter, he's sitting there and he's got the guys hanging on him, and all of a sudden Peter looks around and says, I wasn't scheduled to speak, but I am now. See, I didn't know it, but my ministry was to him first, picking up lame people and helping them stand and walk and shout and praise. But the next level is there's some lost people here, and they've all come to me. And if they came over here, I didn't come to them. I didn't go to each group. I didn't go to this group and tell them, hey, while you're teaching this, let me give you a little Jesus. Nope. Jesus made a stir with the person they helped first, and now they're all standing there going, how in the world is this happening? And Peter goes, I got a message. I'll tell you exactly how it happened. I see that you're standing here. Do you see the fault? Do you see the depth? Amen? Do you see the layers? It started with a guy. Now they're standing in front of people. That's how you do ministry. One person at a time, leading to another thing and to another thing and to another thing until 10 or 15 years of your life is gone by and you're standing in what you do for ministry. And you might not even know it. Amen? You might not even know it. You might still say stuff like, well, I'm really not doing much until somebody reverberates or regurgitates the things that you do. Never mind. I thought I'd get an amen out of that because there's some of you that say, well, I just don't do enough for God. But if somebody told you what you do for God and what you do for them, you'd be like, wow, I didn't even realize that. Verse 13. I love this. Well, Peter saw it, verse 12. We didn't get very far in verse 12. And he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? I love this stuff. Because when you help people get saved that are broken, sometimes they redirect the praise. They give the praise to the wrong person. Amen? The guy probably, when he was holding on to him like I was holding on to those guys, probably said, if it hadn't been for you guys, I'd be stuck out there for the rest of my life. You guys saved me. Wrong. And this happens a lot. I've had people call me over the years and say, man, you saved me. I said, wait a minute, we're going to crack the book right here. Because if I saved you, it's already ran out. But if he saved you, it'll never run out. Amen? I want you to be clear that I have never saved anyone. And I love how Peter's like, he looks at him and they're all going, man, these guys. And he goes, no. I want to make things very clear. You're sitting here marveling at us and what we've done. We really haven't done anything. All we did is we let the first Jesus pass away and we received the other part of the Godhead. We used to walk with the physical Jesus. Now we're walking with the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Huh. Same God, different operation. Amen? In us. Is that cool? Ain't that cool? I mean, that, man, not many people on the face of this planet got to walk with Jesus and then have God in them. Can I go one step further? Can I do one more thing right there while it's fresh on my mind? There's only one person who birthed Jesus, was seeing Jesus die on the cross, and then carried him in the Holy Spirit. That's Mary. Ain't that amazing? No, come on. Y'all just bear with me. I'm going to preach off here just for a minute. In the upper room, 120 in the upper room, Mary's up there. Everybody's like, I wonder what it's going to be like to have God on the inside of us. Mary goes, I know. I know what it feels like. It's amazing. Amen? I've had him leap, and I felt another. I remember when John the Baptist was over there, and he leaped in the womb, and we both got filled with the Holy Spirit, me and Elizabeth, and we had a time. Amen? And I remember that one time we took him up. We went and took him up there to Bethlehem. I was 9 months pregnant. I don't know who thought that was a good idea. Amen? We got up there and we didn't have a room. We had him outside. Amen. And we carried him. And all of a sudden she's in the upper room. And guess what? The Holy Spirit comes and baptizes her and is on the inside of her. And she's like, you know, it's good to have Jesus again. Amen. I'm sorry. I just had to. Sometimes you get in the book and you just see something. You're like, you just have to. Amen. You ever have to? That's one of those. Amen. Verse 13. The God of Abraham, no, he gets good. This is Peter preaching, amen? This is Peter. He goes full on. Holy Spirit takes over. He's standing there. Now, you remember who Peter is, right? They ran. They hid. They were scared, amen? They were scared of their mind. The only difference, y'all might want to write this one down too. Listen, the only difference between them then and now is they have received the Holy Spirit. Sometimes as believers today, we compare ourselves to the disciples and apostles prior to the receiving of the Holy Spirit than we do afterwards. Ooh. We'll say stuff like, we're just like them. We don't want to get out of our boat. We're just like them. That was prior to them receiving the Holy Spirit of God. After they received the Holy Spirit of God, you couldn't shake these guys. You couldn't scare them. You couldn't stop them. You couldn't run them off. You couldn't say, we're going to kill you. That's a good. If you kill me, then you know what? That's the end of this thing. We get to be with Jesus because he was resurrected. We see that same Jesus. He shot up in the air. He's coming back in like manner. We're good with that. Go ahead and get the killing going on right now. If you don't believe that, you can read Acts chapter 10. And in this, you go on into 4. They put them in prison, beat them, and guess what? God would break them out sometimes. And the Holy Ghost break out. He'd get him out of prison. He cut James's head slap off. Acts chapter 12 cut his head off. Put Peter in the prison. And that night that he put him in prison, Peter was sleeping. I mean, his fishing buddy, other business partner, head slap cut off. That next night, they put Peter in there thinking, man, we're going to kill him tomorrow. He was asleep. You don't scare these guys anymore. If you get Jesus in you, the fear of dying and the fear of the end of this world is no longer the fear of this end of the world. Guess what? It means promotion. Oh, gosh. I can't talk y'all into shouting an amen and praise God. Listen, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, we go to heaven. Stop listening to the enemy. If you die, it's a horrible thing. If you die, it's going to end. Man, if you die, God's still in control of your life. What will my family do? If they believe in Jesus Christ, exactly what God wants them to do. This is better preaching than y'all are letting on. God, Abraham, here's the preaching. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, he went all the way back, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Man, he corrects the order of the court in Acts, does he not? Man, because a lot of times we'll get to reading in that gospel and we'll somehow attribute Pilate to something really, really. Pilate was looking for a way to get rid of Jesus and let him live, and the Jewish people kept saying, no way. Ultimately, God was saying, no way. Amen? But I just want you to see it. Peter, through the Holy Spirit, lays this at their feet. And guess what? He duly lays it at our feet. It's our fault that Christ was crucified. It's our fault because of our sin. Amen? Verse 14, but you denied the Holy One and the just and desired the murderer to be granted unto you. He was talking, ain't that cool? He brought up Barabbas, right? Barabbas. He brought him up. He said, you let a murderer go. Man, that's cool. And he, listen, hey, verse 15, underline this, and this is really neat. I love this name right here. And killed the Prince of Life. That's a name for Jesus, and I'd never really seen it before until we studied this message out again and again and again. But the Prince of Life, man, oh, that's good, right? And killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. We are witnesses. They witnessed it. God had them there that whole time to witness. And man, Peter is preaching up a storm. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and now and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I would that there through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. You know what I'm saying? Listen, we were all ignorant. We are, hey, I'd done some ignorant stuff before I got saved. I said some stuff out of my mouth that God should have sent me into eternity for. Amen? I mean, I'm being honest. I said some stuff that sometimes I am totally surprised that I'm saved today. Because I said some stuff. I mean, I said some stuff like, man, God ain't the only way. God ain't, you know, I said it out of my mouth. Well, that can't be the only way. You know what I mean? And man, when I finally knew he is the only way. Amen? And I cursed, and I said, and I done some things that should have disqualified me, but it didn't. Amen? It didn't, because I did them through ignorance. Amen? So when you get the revelation of who Jesus really is, then you need to take the opportunity, and he's giving it to them right here. But those things, verse 18, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Man, he said, I can go all the way back with you guys to the Old Testament. All the prophets, the law, were all pointing to Jesus Christ. I've had this conversation so many times. I don't know how Jewish people don't see that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. I mean, every time I read the Old Testament, I mean, there are some things in the Old Testament that just scream, hey, I'm Jesus. I mean, when you're reading them, it's like, hello, here I am. Right in the midst of the text, amen? The Christ should suffer, and he has so fulfilled. 19. Verse 19 is a very important thing. What does he tell them to do? Repent ye therefore and be converted. Listen, this is really, truly the only message the church has. Whew. John the Baptist come preaching it. Jesus come preaching it. And he left his apostles and disciples to repent. Who should repent? Anybody that doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. To the person who's the most religious person you've ever met, to the waywardest person who lives out, you know, the drunkard, the whatever, the prostitute, those two people need repentance. That two ditches. The person over here who won't eat this, won't do that, won't wear that, won't swear, won't curse, won't goes to this church, does this, wears that. I mean, when you look at him, you kind of question yourself, am I good enough? I told you this before. I've went on visitations, and you're standing there in the elevator, and some of these Catholic priests will get on the elevator with you. And you look over at them, you're like, man, that's spiffy. Right? I mean, they got the collar, and they got the black, and they got the beads and the cross and the stuff. And they're nice. How are you today? Good. Hey, you right? And I know when you're thinking, man, they look something. Without Christ, they're nothing. If they're working their way into heaven, nothing. If they have to do certain things to be right with God, nothing, nothing, nothing. Their clothes will fall in the streets. Golly, I'm serious. It don't matter how you look on the outside. I appreciate when people say, I want to do my best for God. Praise God for you. But guess what? A naked man can get into heaven. You don't want to hear that, but it's true. One did. Hanging on a cross. And you say, well, he had nothing. Remember when you come to your kingdom, you'll be with me to stay in paradise. He never done anything but believe. That's all we have to do. Believe. Well, if you believe, guess what? Then Jesus Christ gets on you and he'll convict you and change you and mold you and make you in what to do and what not to do. Praise God, I ain't ever, ever, ever intimidated by somebody's clothing or their appearance, ever. Because you know what? At the end of the day, Man, I got enough Jesus in me, man. It burns. Amen? I mean, you get in a conversation with me, I'm going to talk to you about Jesus. And guess what? When it don't, well, this is what, We can talk, but it's real. Amen? Oh, never mind. I kind of chopped that part up right there. I'm just telling you this. We don't have nothing to be ashamed of. No matter what you're, I don't care if you're out on a tractor and you got sweat pouring off you one way or the other, and somebody walks up to you in the finest suit and clothing and told you there's some other way, you look at them and say, I've got everything I need in Jesus Christ alone. Amen? That's a fact. Hey, I mean, you can show up some people. I've had them show up at my door, and I ain't being jogging pants and T-shirt. We're here with these people. I want to tell you about something. I said, you got anything other than Jesus? Yeah, just a little bit other than Jesus. Thank you very much. You ain't got it right. Oh, never. You'll get that in a minute when you get home. Repent, verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come for the presence of the Lord. Man, I'm going to tell you right now, I can't wait for that day. Refreshing. Let me boil it down this way. When we're standing there before God, and we fell on our face before God, and we say, oh God, oh wretched man that I am. And he says, enter in, my good and faithful servant. You talking about some refreshment. When he kneels down and you see who he is and you really see who you are, it's like Isaiah said, he fell down and he goes, I am a man of unclean lips and I live amongst the people of unclean lips. And guess what? God touched him. He'll reach down and he'll dry those tears up and say, hey, enter in. You'll be like, woo! You'll shout like Gary's Sunday school class. Shouts. You'll shout like them. Did you get what I'm saying? Now, you're talking about a day of refreshing. Listen, you can be as low as you can go as a Christian. You better remind yourself, this is not the end. No matter what kind of situation you get in, no matter what kind of disease, what kind of sickness, what kind of pain, what kind of problems you got, pray, get somewhere, turn against the wall, and say, God, I'm still saved. If it all fails today, I know where I'll end up for eternity. And if I'm still alive, there's a purpose. God, show it to me. Help me get back up and let me go. Man, there's a perfect picture of that in Hezekiah. Oh, Hezekiah, man, he's sitting there. They said, you're dying. Get your house in order. Man, he's sick. He couldn't go nowhere. He just pulled the sheet and the covers over and rolled against the wall and talked to God about it. The prophet's out in the courtyard. Headed home after delivering, get your house in order. God said, Isaiah, go back and tell him he's got 15 more years. Yes, sir. That quick. That quick. Because he said, you know what? I can believe in my situation or I can trust God. Now, you might roll against the wall and God said, I ain't going to do nothing but let you go on. Praise God. Guess what? There is a promotion. Never mind. Beautiful in the eyes of the Lord are the death of his saints. Man, some people get their work done early. Whew, never mind. Y'all get that later on too. Some people get their work done early. Verse 20, and he shall send Jesus, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear the prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindred of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Man, this is Peter preaching to a whole multitude of people. At one point, over 5,000 people have now gathered around into this pavilion, and the word of God is ringing out of Solomon's porch. and 5,000 people because one lame man got healed, got to running, got to shouting, and got to praising that God said, now preach. And after they preached, they put them into prison. And guess what happened? They brought them up there and said, you know what? We want you to shut up about this Jesus thing. You know what he said? We would rather die. Amen? And they preached. And guess what Peter did again? Now listen, this is the folds and the levels, right? Folds, depth, layers. Listen, while he was standing before that same body again, the Holy Spirit comes on Peter again, and he preaches another dissertation. He preaches two times about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4. And you know what it all started from? Just reaching down for one broken man on the side of the road. Where will you find your ministry? Wherever God, when you're obedient and you say, God, I'll go where you want me to go and I'll do what you want me to do. And when you get this crazy unction, move or press by the Holy Spirit to touch or do something for somebody that's like, I got to do this. You will be surprised at where God will take you from there. And you say, how do you know? We're living it. We're living it. Living it. Just like they're living it. Now we go on in the whole book of Acts and show you this, but I just wanted you to see it. Let's all stand.